council meeting for Tuesday, August 14th is now hereby called to order. We have regrets from Deputy Mayor Susan McLeod today. Are there any changes or alterations to the agenda as circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve the agenda circulated would be in order. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor Muse. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 3.0 presentations, we have 3.1, the 2017-2018 audited financial statements by Bellevaux Vino Incorporated. And I would ask Paul Bellevaux and Michael Metcalf if they would like to come to the presentation table this morning. And I would also note that we have in your package of the agenda, under 11.1, we have copies of the financial statements. So I'd like to refer to those during the presentation and able for you to do so.
Morning. I'd like to thank you for welcoming us here today, and it's good to think we've got the audit done a little bit earlier this year, which is always good. And first of all, I'd like to thank the staff on their cooperation in helping us perform the audit. Things went quite smoothly, and you know, it's also a sign of the competency of your staff when things go smoothly. And so anyhow, a big thank you to them as well. And so we didn't run into any major issues as usual. You know, we have some minor suggestions and things like that in management letters, but nothing of major significance or that should cause major alarm. And so with that, I'll just turn things over to Mike, who actually was involved in doing the actual audit, and I'll turn it over to him.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, so I'm going to go through the financial statements. The consolidated statements are the A section. It's the section that we issued our audit report on, and is the only section that follows public sector accounting standards. The non-consolidated B section provides greater detail on individual sections. And on A3, does everyone have the financial statements? Okay. So on A3, it states that our report is an unqualified report, meaning that we have not identified any misstatements that are considered to be material to the users of the financial statements. So that's a good thing. A4, the consolidated statement of financial position. Total assets this year have increased by $2.7 million to $17,781,373. The main causes of the increase this year is an increase in cash held in reserve accounts, and also due to the funding receivable from federal and provincial governments relating to the major construction projects from Main and School Streets. Total liabilities were relatively consistent this year with prior year overall. Changes in this section were a decrease in long-term debt with regular payments made by the municipality, and no new debt issued this year. This was offset by an increase in the landfill, solid waste closure and post-closure liability. Total financial assets increased by $2.6 million to $8.67 million.
Excuse me a second.
Sure.
Could you speak up a little bit? I just asked
sure.
Over there. They can't hear
okay,
you.
Okay, sorry about that. I talk a little quietly here. Okay, so total financial assets increased by $2.6 million overall, showing an $8.67 million this year, over $6.1 million in 2017. Total non-financial assets remain quite similar to the prior year, is 58.9 million this year compared with 59.1 million in 2017. Overall consolidated net assets of the municipality are 67,569,764 at the end of March 2018.
Can you hear that, please?
Can you hear now? Okay. Sorry about that. We'll go to the A5, the Consolidated Statement of Financial Activities. And I won't go into a whole lot of detail on the consolidated statement, as I'm going to dive a little more into Section B, which gives a clearer picture of the overall revenue and expense items. I will say that the region had $20.6 million in total revenues this year, and $18.2 million in total expenditures for a consolidated surplus of almost $2.4 million. This number is a bit misleading because it eliminates capital needs for the region, which are taken into consideration when preparing the budget and setting the tax rates. And I'll go into the overall actual operating surplus in the B section. So we'll actually go to the B section now. Get you to turn to page B1. This is the general section statement of operations. Total revenues this year were $18.742 million. This is an increase of $541,000 over the prior year and is $784,000 higher than budgeted. Total expenditures were $18,604,241. This is $639,000 higher than last year, $622,000 higher than budgeted. This amounts to an operating surplus just over $138,000 this year, compared with last year's surplus of $236,000 and a budgeted surplus of just under $3,000. So as you can see, each revenue and expense line corresponds with its own page number. I won't take you through the individual schedules, but I'll give you a brief line-by-line explanation of the major revenue and expense lines in B1. So we'll start at the top, back at the top with the total taxes. So taxes this year were $11,918,776. This was up overall $171,000 from last year and $111,000 over budget. This is due to the tax rates increased very slightly this year, and overall assessments increased a little bit in Queens, causing property tax revenues to increase by $140,000 residentially and $70,000 commercially. The other point to note in this section is the deed transfer tax decreased by $50,000 this year overall, but it's still much higher than budgeted. The market has been very active the past few years compared with an average year in Queens. Grants in lieu of taxes were $318,648. This was a minimal difference between last year or the budgeted amount. The main driver of this section is the Crown Timberland and land owned by the federal and provincial governments. Services provided to other governments was $1.906 million. This was $72,000 more than last year and $212,000 more than budgeted. This is the landfill revenue, which continues to increase in usage from other local municipalities. This revenue is budgeted conservatively by the municipality, and any landfill surplus is put into a reserve account. Sales of services were $1,430,162. This was $9,000 more than last year and $76,000 more than budgeted. So this line consists of the local landfill revenues from from Queens and also Queens Place revenue. Local landfill sales decreased slightly from last year, while Queens Place revenue increased by $65,000 over last year. Facility rentals were up at Queens Place, but were under budget, mainly due to the lower than expected revenues for the major concert events held at Queens Place. So other revenue from own sources. This was $622,394, which was $17,000 less than last year and $9,000 less than budget. This is more or less the miscellaneous line items, capturing items like permits, fines, and interest on overdue property taxes. There's no major changes to note for this line. Unconditional transfers from federal and provincial governments and agencies were $2,064,029 this year. That's $99,000 more than the prior year and $90,000 more than budget. Nova Scotia Power transfers increased last year over the budgeted amounts. This is the municipality's share of Nova Scotia Power land owned through the province, divided amongst the towns and municipalities in Nova Scotia. Also, there was a grant that was received for town hall repair for about $55,000. Conditional transfers from federal and provincial governments and agencies was $84,726 this year. That's $30,000 more than last year and $44,000 less than budgeted. The municipalities received more than budgeted and the prior year from diversion credits in this line. That's more or less payment for diverting recyclable material out of the landfill. Also, there is a grant received for a transit study, which was not budgeted for. Other transfers was $397,652 this year. That's $176,000 more than last year and $317,000 more than budgeted. This variance is due to the major investment in bunker gear and breathing apparatuses for the volunteer firefighters. This gear must be replaced regularly by the departments and is customized to each firefighter. So I'll take you through the expenditures line items. General government services, $1,938,110 this year. That's $197,000 more than budgeted, or more than last year, and $173,000 more than budgeted. The main reason for this variance is an increase in the valuation allowance. This is up $239,000 over last year and $326,000 over budget. The municipality can't add to the valuation allowance until an attempt is made to recover unpaid tax amounts and tax sale. With the large increase to properties held in tax sales this year, any properties which did not sell were added to the allowance. This increase was offset by a decrease in admin salaries and benefits due to the vacancy in the CAO position for several months during the year and a vacancy in the municipal clerk position for the majority of the year. Protective services was $3,690,406 this year. That's $434,000 more than last year and $321,000 more than budget. The RCMP contract came in higher than last year, but it was less than budget. Also, the firefighting force expense was about $200,000 more than last year and $380,000 more than budget. And again, this is due to the expenses in the bunker gear and breathing apparatuses that were purchased. Transportation services, $2,312,385 this year. That's $29,000 more than last year and $31,000 less than budget. The difference is due to the public works salaries in the area, increasing from last year, but we're down from what we budgeted for the budget amount. Also, street lighting was consistent with last year, but was more than budget, as the LED lighting benefits weren't realized yet this year. Environmental health services were 3 million $29,574 this year. That's $77,000 more than budget, and $77,000 more than last year, and $26,000 more than budget. There were also major repairs to both the North and South Queens sewage treatment plants. Also, landfill activities was more than budgeted, resulting in more revenue and expenditures. Public health services was $132,389 this year, $16,000 less than last year, and $14,000 more than budget. The municipality funds the annual deficit of the Regional Housing Authority, and that's what this expense is. The deficit was $19,000 less than last year, but was $12,000 more than the budget by the municipality. Environmental Development Services was $846,098 this year, $82,000 more than last year, and $57,000 more than budget. This is due to the call center building maintenance that increased last year, over last year, and also over budget. Salaries and benefits increased over last year, but were below budget due to the retirement of the Economic Development Director in September. Recreational and Cultural Services and Education was $2,076,434 this year. That's $53,000 more than budget, or more than last year, and $33,000 less than budget. Queen's Place expenses were $60,000 higher than last year and $25,000 more than budget due to the unexpected major maintenance this year. Special events at Queen's Place were also higher than the previous year but less than budgeted. Outside Queen's Place, expenses for other recreational programs were down due to a lack of interest in the municipality and the programs that were offered. There's also some cost savings this year on promotional material prepared in-house rather than contracted out. Physical services, $4,578,845 this year. That's $217,000 less than budget and $217,000 less than last year, $209,000 over budget. There's less surplus transferred from landfill operations than previous year, but this was $117,000 over budget. There were also funds transferred this year to develop municipal land on Bar Street to make it more saleable, which was not in the budget. So I'll take you to, I guess, any questions on that yet?
Can the councillor have a question or comment at this point? No, we're good.
All right. So I'll take you to B2, which is the general section operating fund balance sheet. So cash in this section increased substantially to $3.1 million. This increase is simply a timing issue, as cash had not been transferred to the reserve accounts by year end. Taxes receivable decreased by $196,000 to $1.24 million. This is mainly due to an increase in the valuation allowance. There was an increase in accounts in amounts due from water operating by $550,000, again due to the transfer of funds between the general operating and water sections happening slightly after year end rather than before. There's an accrued pension plan asset of $253,000 compared with $185,000 last year. And total assets for this section increased just under $3 million to $6,716,958. Trade accounts payable decreased by $203,000. This is mainly due to the timing of payments from the municipality. There's a batch of checks sent out March 31st this year compared with the last batch last year going out on March 22nd. This also accounts for the decrease in amounts due to provincial and federal governments at year end. Amounts due to other funds increased to just under $4.2 million this year. from just over $1 million in 2017. Again, because the transfers were not completed by year end. Total liabilities increased by $2.8 million this year to $5.167 million. The surplus increased by the current year's excess of revenue over expenditures from page B1, just over $138,000, up to $1.3 million this year. So section B3 is the general section capital fund balance sheet. Assets increased by $1.7 million this year due to major capital projects completed on Main and School Streets. Total assets this year are $55,734,080. Liabilities increased by $1.3 million. This increase is amounts owed to special capital and operating reserves for temporary funding on the Main and School Street projects until the reimbursements from various levels of governments can be received. Long-term debt decreased by $270,000 from regular principal payments being made this year. Investment in capital assets have increased by $400,000 this year, and the details of that are described in B4. So we'll take you to section B15, the Hillsview Acres statement of operations. So Hillsview had a surplus this year of just under $45,000. Revenues received were $36,000 over budget. Salaries were about $40,000 under budget, while building and resident care expenses were about $10,000 over budget. And this surplus gets transferred to a reserve account. 16.
Salaries were about $40,000 under budget. Is that one person not being there? How would you say that?
$40,000 under budget. I'm not sure. Jennifer?
It's because we would have budgeted for a slight increase or cost of living increase, but the QB hasn't settled the union agreement yet, so those wages haven't come through. So we budgeted in case they would have been settled during the year, but they weren't. It will be retroactive when it does come into play.
Okay, so that was a lot to be just a thought, it might be one employee less or something like that.
Right, yeah, just no increases on the nursing staff. So B16, we'll get into the water utility statement of operations. And there was a slight decrease in usage this year as residents continue to conserve water. Total revenue this year is $671,762. Expenses increased to $680,770 due to a major repair project this winter and an increase in water treatment materials. The deficit was offset by rental income from a special piece of water equipment used by other municipalities to result in a small surplus of $2,407 this year. B17, the Water Utility Operating Fund Balance Sheet. So total assets increased this year by $691,000 to $101,804,551. However, liabilities increased by $689,000 to $1.209 million because there were large amounts owed to the General Operating and Water Capital Fund, which were not transferred at the end of the year. The surplus of $595,512 increased by the $2,400 of surplus this year from the water utility. 17 is the water utility capital fund balance sheet. Total assets in this section of $6,343,882, which is an increase of $373,000 due to the capital projects on Main and School Street, and a new amount owing from the water operating fund at year end. Total liabilities decreased but to $409,340 as regular long-term debt payments, principal payments continued to be made. Investment in capital assets has increased this year to $5,934,542. This is an increase of about $414,000 over the previous year. I'll take you to B21. The special reserve funds statement of reserves. So reserves have increased $1.9 million this year. Major activities include $2 million transferred from operations, such as landfill and sewer surpluses, $861,000 contributed from the gas tax revenue, and $489,000 transferred out for capital projects. And $389,000 transferred for the fire equipment that I mentioned earlier. So total reserves were $9,981,656 at year end. So I'll take you to the C section. And this section contains funds held in trust by the Region of Queens for various purposes, such as scholarships, surplus school properties, and the Hillsview Resident Trust Funds. And you'll see there's two balance sheets, and in these two balance sheets there are very little change in any of the funds held in trust this year. The only major activity was deposits of about $80,000 and withdrawals of $76,000 in the Hillsview Resident Trust Funds. Any questions?
Not at this point. So are there any counselors that have a question or comment on this report? Counselor Fisk?
I just feel very strongly you did a very good job. I thank you very much for that. And also the staff had to be included on this. Feel that our staff here are very well qualified and work very closely with you. I totally appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other counselor? Well, I want to thank you, Paul and Michael, for your presentation today, and we will have a recommendation coming later in our council meeting today under item 11.1, so hopefully we'll pass all of these issues and it will be great.
Okay, and what we've left the all of the papers to be signed, and then once they're all signed, we can do the final package. Because basically, until everything is approved, it's still in really the draft form. So we've left the copies there to be signed. There's signatures for the CEO, CFO, and mayor. So if we let Mike know when those are ready, then we'll get that.
Thank you so very much. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now move on to 4.0, tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Petitions to be tabled. Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. 5.0, public question comment session. If any member of the gallery would like to speak, please state your name, your address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robertson,
those houses that are just prior to the road, Fort Herbert, and along that north side of the 103, of the old Route 3, would be included in Fort Jolly as a community.
So I think that there's probably half a dozen or so houses there is what would be. I know what I've ever used to call it, the hit Fort Jolly.
So there will be more discussion, I'm sure, when that item does come up.
Okay, I was just wondering for clarification. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Ah, 6.0, approval of minutes. 6.1, regular council minutes, July 24th, 2018. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor Bailey, seconded by Councilor Fancy. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Motion ends. Thank you. 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. We have nothing to bring forward today. 8.0, economic development. We have nothing to bring forward today. 9.0, corporate services. We have a list of items today. Nine point one, job description, accounts payable clerk. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councilor Muse?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised accounts payable clerk job description attached.
Seconded to that? Councilor Kelly? This has been circulated with the agenda. Are there any questions or comments of councilors on this one? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.2, job description, administrative assistant, planning and development department. Who would like to take the lead on this? Councilor Fisk?
I so move the Council of Region of Queens approve the revised administrative assistant planning and development job description attached.
Seconder to that? Councilor Frelick. This was also circulated with the agenda. Any questions or comments on this item? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.3, job description, administrative assistant, recreation and healthy communities. Would like to take the lead on this, Councilor Carroll.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised Administrative Assistant Recreation and Healthy Communities job description attached.
Seconder to that? Councilor Kelly? This was circulated with the agenda as well. Do you have any questions or comments on this one? Okay, ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.4, job description, director of finance. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councilor Muse.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised director of finance job description.
Seconded to that? Councilor Fisk. This was circulated as well with the agenda. Any questions or comments on this one? Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.5, job description, finance clerk. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councillor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised finance clerk job description attached.
Seconder to that? Councillor Fancy? This was circulated with the agenda. Are there any questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.6. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councillor Muse.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised fitness coordinator job description.
Seconded to this motion? Councillor Fancy? This was circulated with the agenda. Are there any questions or comments on this one? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.7. Who would like to take the lead?
finance job description attached.
Seconder for that? Counselor Trailer? This was again circulated with the agenda. Any questions or comments on this one? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. 9.8, job description, payroll benefits clerk. Who would like to take the lead on this? Counselor Fancy?
I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised payroll slash benefit clerk job description attached.
Seconder to that? Counselor Fisk? This was circulated with the agenda. Are there any questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. 9.9, job description, tax clerk. Who would like to take the lead on this, Counselor Muse?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised tax clerk job description.
Seconder for that motion? Counselor Fancy? This was circulated with the agenda. Any questions or comments on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? 9.10, job description, utility clerk. Who would like to take the lead on this? Counselor Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised utility clerk job description attached.
Seconder for that motion? Counselor Fisk? This was attached to the agenda. Any questions or comments on this one? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. 9.11, job description, deputy clerk. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Counselor Kelly?
I so move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised deputy clerk job description attached.
Seconder for that motion? Counselor Fancy? This was attached to the agenda. Any questions or comments on this item? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. 9.12, policy 85, handling of complaints. Who would like to take the lead on this? Counselor Johnson?
I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve policy 85 respecting the handling of complaints.
Seconder for that motion? Counselor Fancy? This was attached to the agenda. Are there any questions or comments on this one? Counselor Crowley?
So I'm just wondering how you're going to get this out to the public. So the public knows routine and handling complaints.
CAO, would you like to respond to that?
It's not a policy that you vote and promote. It's simply an internal policy. So what's important is that all staff are aware of the policy. So if there is a complaint received, all members of staff know who that complaint goes to. So the person doesn't get sent from person to person to person. So now there'll be a centralized person who will be responsible for all those complaints, following up with all the various staff, and then giving the one response back to the complainant, rather than having multiple people be contacted and getting multiple answers.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion on this item? Counselor Kelly?
I'm also wondering, you know, with this great policy for handling complaints, which is, you know, clear and concise, but then to add frontline resolution, which leaves it kind of ambiguous as to, and I understand there should be more clarification as what that would be, because I, you know, if somebody has a problem with their water bill or their tax bill, it's not a complaint through the system, but they would come in and speak to those people, those staff members that are responsible for that. But without clarification under that, it means that everyone in the public would feel free to contact anyone at the region for resolution of something which they might not realize should be a complaint or is just an inquiry or what it is, you know what I mean? Like, there's no clarification in that section as to what would be considered frontline resolution issues.
CAO, would you like to address that?
Trying to understand the nature of your concern. So the definition in 85.3 section B says complaints and issue or concern raised with municipal program service or operation which is not resolved at the time of the incident for which the complaint submits their concern. So if a person had a problem with their water bill, that wouldn't be a complaint at the time, that would be a service issue, and they would come in and speak to the after a person feels they didn't get the appropriate answer or didn't get that level of service they're expecting, it would then get escalated to the complaint process.
And this would be conveyed to that person through the staff member that they were dealing with? How would a resident know to do that? If they go directly to an employee, to a region employee to deal with something, and then they're just told that, no, can't do anything about that, and it's up to the resident to decide that they're not satisfied to actually know that they can go further with it and make a complaint?
That's correct. It's no different than this today. So if someone comes in and doesn't like the level of service or feel like they're being treated appropriately, they take it up the ladder themselves. They call the CAO, they call the mayor, they call the counselor. This process would be no different. So if someone wasn't satisfied, they would then send an email or make a phone call or whatever, essentially to someone else. And that would be better.
I think my issue there is that resident understanding that they are in a complaint situation in the beginning rather than just a service issue, and understanding the difference between the two. See, with this complaint policy, I love the transparency of it and the reporting back of it and that sort of thing, whereas this seems to be very ambiguous, that section, as to who somebody would go to for certain. I think I'm mainly talking about things like the potholes and the things like that, if nothing gets done about it, or if they're told that, you know, nothing will get done about that, you know, that they know that they can take that further and not just accept that answer for that, depending on how they feel about it. I mean, that's an ambiguous situation for, you know, based on who the resident is and what they're willing to do, or whether to accept what the staff member says or know that they can go further with this, you know.
Right. So if there's a service level issue raised, for instance, a pothole, goes through our public works and typically gets dealt with immediately because it's a safety issue. Now, if we, every time we had an issue like that, if we told them, if you're not satisfied with the answer, you can file a formal complaint, we'll get a whole rash of people, because it'll be people that won't like the answer. But they'll typically today, they'll say, you know, I don't like the answer, but that's the answer. And if we start suggesting to people, well, if you don't like the answer, you can go through a formal complaint process and you'll get research done, you'll get another written response. We're going to get a whole rash of people on a regular basis, because people are just going to do it because they know they have another option. So it's like a form of appeal. And this isn't meant to be a form of appeal. This is to deal with issues that don't get dealt with at the front line, because maybe it's a policy issue and the person at the front counter says, or the person in the public works department says, I don't have authority to do that, and that becomes a policy issue or a management issue, not necessarily a frontline issue. And so I wouldn't want all of our staff out saying, well, I can't do it, but if you complain, then so-and-so might be able to help you out. I don't want to get us into that situation, because we'll end up with all kinds of complaints, and we just won't have the staff ability to do the research and follow up on it. So this is meant to be for legitimate concerns. So if someone feels like the service issue or the program issue or whatever it might be didn't get dealt with fairly at the beginning, they have another opportunity to go to a second level. Whereas 99% of the issues, I believe, would be dealt with at the front line, dealt with immediately. And so I don't want to encourage people to then go to the second level every time just because they can.
So on the same token, then, the person that's designated to be taking these complaints in the first place, the point person on that, would people to staff if it wasn't an actual complaint, if they went through the system for what they felt was a complaint, would they be referred back to staff members if they felt that was the proper way to go?
What would probably happen in the initial part, because this is a new policy, is that complaint would go to the individual designated. They would follow up with the staff member initially. They would find out what the answer is. They would report back to the member of the public what the issue is or what the resolution is.
Yeah.
And they would indicate to them that in the future, you don't need to. This is a formal complaint. Next time, if there's an issue with a pothole, you can call contact so-and-so, and this is the number, this is the email. Contact directly. You don't have to go through the formal process. You can deal with it much quicker than going through the written process. It'll take us some time to work this out, because it is a new policy, and there is going to be some gray areas around what's a complaint versus what's a service issue at the beginning.
Exactly, and that's why I brought up the issues that, you know, it's a great policy. I do love it. I love the transparency of it. But the frontline resolution part was, you know, not really qualified enough for my liking, and thought that ambiguity, thank you very much, exists in that portion. But I understand your
report of the type of complaints and how they were resolved, especially ones that we are, that we bring forward ourselves, you know, bring forward from our constituents.
CAO? We can certainly do that, and on a general sense, what the nature of the complaint was, if not necessarily the complaint was, but the general nature of the complaint and how they were dealt with, yeah. I would hope that members of council would encourage members of the public to make the complaints and not have members of council make the complaints, because then it becomes an issue of the member of council then
owns it,
and we report back to the member of council, not to the member of the public, and a lot of information details get lost in translation. Because then we're dealing with three or four different people, and so I don't want to lose the purpose of this and have this as a tool that somebody doesn't want to complain, except through their counselor, because that makes it very difficult to deal with those.
Anish? And yes, Councilor Kelly?
My sentiments exactly, and I thought of the same thing as well, and really to alleviate the amount of complaints, because if counselors are aware of answers that have been given back in the previous complaints, and we receive the same ones, we can then convey that information back and alleviate more complaints going through the system, knowing that they've been handled once before, if they're the same in nature. So it would be a benefit for counselors to know how complaints were dealt with. So I think that would be a very good idea for us to be aware in some way of generalities of what's being complained about and what the answers and resolutions were.
Any other counselor have a comment or a question? Hearing none, are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 10.0, engineering and works, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 11.0, I would ask our Director of Finance, Jennifer Keating Hubley, if you'd like to come forward. Under 11.1, we have adoption of audited 2017-2018 financial statements. Who would like to take the lead on 11.1? Councilor Fisk.
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens adopt the audit financial statement and that the trust fund final financial statement for the fiscal year ending March 31st, 2018, and presented by Bellevue and Vino Industrial.
Seconder for that, Councilor Vancey. Any questions or comments? We've had the presentation, we've had the financial report circulated with the agenda. Any councilors have any questions or comments on this item? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you, and thank you, Jennifer. Recreation and community facilities. I would ask if our director, Megan Roberts, would come forward. Under 12.1, waiver of policy 58, consumption of alcohol on municipal property, Boggs and Rock Brewing Company. Who would like to take the lead on 12.1? Councilor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality agree to waive policy 58, consumption of alcohol on municipal owned properties, as requested by Boxing Rock Brewing Company for August 25th and 26th, 2018, and that the applicant be required to submit proof of insurance in no less than $2 million per occurrence with the Region of Queens Municipality as additional insured, and copy of the effect liquor license from the province of Nova Scotia to the region, and that all municipal, provincial, and federal laws be strictly adhered to.
Seconded by Councilor Fraley. Excuse me. I was reading my notes. Sorry about that. Any discussion on this item?
Is
Councilor Mews?
Hell Bay wasn't involved in this at all. I just find it's funny we're bringing in another brewing company in our area.
If I may, Councilor Mews, I'd ask Steve Burns if he would like to come forward and
Just for your information, we are a sponsor of the event, and the North Nova Lumberjack Society, they are putting the event on. So Boxing Rock is one of their supporters and sponsors in general, so that's why Boxing Rock's involved.
Any other counselor have a question or comment on this item? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? If you're unanimous, thank you. Moving on to 12.2, special event assistance, Memorial Auto Show. Who wants to take the lead on this one? Counselor Fancy?
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give approval from the Special Events Assistance Program of $200 to Memorial Auto Show for costs associated with delivering the auto show, and that it to be funded from community grants and programs budget line of the Recreation and Healthy Communities Department.
Seconder for that motion? Counselor Muse? Any questions or comments of counselors on this item? Counselor Fancy?
We've had what's now 2 years now, isn't it?
This is the third year.
And you see the pictures, even with the drones, what comes, it's just been fantastic that mm-hmm. we get. These are the type of things that we need community. I mean, so many people are looking for the region to look at doing things, and these are people, individuals doing things. This is the encouragement we should be giving to the people to go forward with these things.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Any other questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nate. Under 13.0 planning, I would ask Director of Planning, Mike McLeod, to come forward. Under 13.1, we have West Coast Tavern Heritage Designation. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councilor Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality register the property identified as PID number 700-17827 and located at 547 Main Street in Liverpool and known as the West House in the Municipal Registry of Heritage Properties for the Region of Queens.
Seconder for that? Councilor Johnson? Mike, do you have anything to add to this item?
I don't think anything further to the, I guess, the information that was certainly presented at the hearing this morning. The property is certainly well worthy of a municipal heritage designation. The applicants in this, or the owners of the property are the applicants in this circumstance and are certainly, are obviously supportive of the designation, so.
Great, thank you. Any questions or comments of counselors? Councilor Fancy?
I would like to bring it out to the public too, just to understand that what this designation will give them, you know, rather than just having a plaque or whatever it may be.
I guess in most cases, it's more the prestige of having the property designated either provincially or municipally in a situation. It does, through the provincial government, open the door to some opportunity for some financial assistance in either conservation advice for restoring a property or some money to allow improvements to that property. So there's some small funding opportunities available through the designation. So, but it's a in large part a prestige thing for the property owner. So
it gives them opportunity for some grants too that they couldn't have.
That's right.
Any other counselor have a question or a comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to 13.2, community boundary change, Fort Jolly East Fork Preferred Recommendation. Moved by Councilor Mew.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality request the Nova Scotia Geometrics Center make changes to the community boundary line between Fort Jolly and East Fort LaBear in the vicinity of Highway 3 to request the inclusion of the properties identified as PID number 700703217, 700678 30, 700676 57, 700676 08, 700676 40, and 700676 in the community of Fort Dalton.
Seconder to that, Councilor Fisk. Mike, could you give us a brief overview of where we are today?
Yeah, just a little bit of background. The province had received correspondence or a call from one of the residents in the area, basically on the boundary of Port Jolly and East Port LaBerre, respecting the community in which their dwelling was located. Right now, the community boundary is just east of the civic address number 10,302, if you refer to the map that's attached. Basically, that boundary is following property lines as well as a brook that runs down. So the province tends to use some physical boundaries when looking at determining or delineating the community boundaries. So, so I guess this person had felt that they were residing within the community of Port Jolly. So staff, the province contacted municipal staff to seek some clarification. And so part of our process, we went out to some of the property owners in the vicinity and to answer Leon's question this morning. This is in where the old store was on the corner of East Port LaBerre Road. So there's essentially six dwellings that are concentrated within this area. And so we sent out letters to the six property owners that abut Highway Number 3 in this area to see where they felt that their dwellings were. And five of the six responded that they felt they lived in the community of Port Jolly. And we didn't receive a response from the sixth individual who actually just rents out the house and doesn't actually live within. So five of the six felt they lived in Port Jolly and wished the community boundaries to be shifted to the west, so that their properties were actually included in the community of Port Jolly, and for civic addressing purposes and emergency 911 purposes, that they those databases reflect that they reside within the community of Port Jolly. So on the map, you see the dashed line is where the proposed boundary would be located, which would take into account the six properties abutting Highway Number 3. So the boundary would be just to the west of Civic Number 10370.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Muse?
This came to light as one of the storms we had, and we had the power lines are down everywhere, and one of the people that was supposedly, they thought they was in Port Jolly, they called 911, and the 911 operator was trying to tell them that they was in Port LaBerre, and they were saying, no, we're not in Port LaBerre, I'm in Port Jolly. And then when they contacted the fire department to go out, the fire department went down to Port LaBerre looking for that problem where they wasn't. So this is why they got in contact with me and decided that they said that they was in Port Jolly.
Any other questions or comments, councilors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Under 14.0 report, we have 14.1, which is the council implementation report ending July the 24th, 2018. This report was circled with the agenda. Circulated with the agenda. Any questions or comments on these items? Councilor Kelly?
Do we have a date on when the RFP or roundabout when the RFP for the flood risk information? infrastructure investment program, or the, yeah, the RFP for that, will be ready?
CAO.
My understanding is it's very close to being finished.
Okay.
Any other counselor have a comment or a question? Good. Well, we'll move on to 15.0 in camera. A motion to go in camera would be appropriate. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor Hughes. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion?